Turn your Bibles to Luke 11. Oh, this is going to be a great message today. Luke 11, verse 1. It's a time where you struggle and you're learning the ways of God. And then when you get into the ways of God, they become easy. All her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are paths of peace. Amen. So you learn God's ways, it's going to be a struggle for you. Life is going to be a struggle. Once you learn God's ways and you get into the place that God wants you to be in, He'll start making things easy for you. Amen? He'll do it. Glory to God. Amen. It's like the blessing of God will come on you. I'm like, God, I'm not doing anything that I wasn't doing before except the blessings here. He said, that's the way it's supposed to be. Praise the Lord. Some of you think God's blessing you according to your talent. God will give you a talent and then bless that. Amen. Glory to God. Don't put him in a box. Amen. God at any time could give anyone in here a witty invention that could shift the known world. What if you've been the one that created Velcro? I mean, who would have thunk it, you know? Or the slinky. You know how much money the guy made with a slinky? Sticky notes. Easy things. Amen. Luke 11. It came to pass. That's your trial. It came to pass. Everyone say it came. Some of you are in a real dark trial right now. And I just hear the Spirit of the Lord telling me to tell you it came to pass. Amen. It came and it passed. It'll pass. It'll pass. Praise God. When it passes through, something in you will change though. Amen. Don't waste your trials. Glory to God. And as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us. Say, teach us to pray. The Lord's been teaching us a lot about prayer here. You have to have the Lord. You have to have the Holy Spirit, which is his representative now, to teach you how to pray. Everybody can pray, but there's a way to pray to be effective. Amen. And now he began to introduce the Lord's Prayer. We've learned a lot about the Lord's Prayer. One of the great things we've learned about the Lord's Prayer is the position of prayer. Amen? We've taught a lot about that. When you pray, enter into the sanctuary, shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and he'll reward you openly. If you'll pray in the presence of God, it's different than praying here. If you learn to move into the presence of the Father and pray in the presence of the Father, you'll get more prayers answered. Amen? That's the position. Position is hugely important. Say position. Then you're going to need to get a revelation. Amen. If you pray without revelation, today I'll give you a revelation. Amen. That's what we have here is revelation. I'm going to give you a revelation. If you get a revelation of how to pray and what to pray, not only is he teaching the position of prayer, he's going to teach you certain spiritual techniques of prayer. This is what the Lord teaches, and when he teaches you it, it's for the purpose of receiving answered prayer. Amen? Today I'm going to give you something really good, but before I do that, I need to just go back for a minute and review a word that we ended the year and began the year with. Then I'm going to take that one step further. Lord, I think you make it easy. Lord, I think you're making things easy now. Now wear the yoke that is easy. Now wear the yoke that you're going to make this vision easy. Going to bring forth all that you said it would be with a yoke that's easy, the burden that's light. Amen. Glory to God. You really get in there with the Lord, he'll make it easy for you. He'll carry your burden. I just sense in my heart there's a woman in here. You're carrying a very intense burden right now. It's over a situation with your family, and the Spirit of the Lord says, if you'll bring that to me, I'll give you a yoke that's easy. And I'll put a smile on your face, even in the midst of the hardship. And I'll put joy in your heart. And I'll turn that trial for you. And though it may be and look impossible to you right now, the Spirit of the Lord says, I'll turn it for you if you'll surrender it to me. Amen. That's dealing with a lady in here, and it has something to do with your son. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to intervene, but he wants you to turn that around. Amen. All right, I'm going to get back to this. Genesis 22, verse 15. It says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because you've done this thing and not withheld thy son, thine only son, verse 17, that in blessing, say in blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy. And thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He says thy seed three times, thy seed, thy seed, thy seed. He, in fact, Hebrews chapter 6 says, by myself I have sworn. And notice what he says in Hebrews 6 verse 13. He said, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore to himself. Now I have a message on this called Sworn to Multiply. We've taught into this a lot. So God swears to Abraham that in blessing I will bless thy seed. And now we found out who God was talking about over the last month or so when we got into the book of Galatians. He said, he saith not unto the seeds of many, but thy seed which is one, which is Christ. Say thy seed which is one, which is Christ. Who the Father was really speaking to was Christ in Abraham's loins. Some of you are here for the first time. He was swearing to himself in the loins of Abraham. The Father was looking down in the loins of Abraham and said, I'm going to make some promises through you, Abraham, to you, but through you, because I really want to speak to the ones coming through your loins, and I'm going to bless this one coming down through the ages. And I'm going to multiply him because I can swear by no greater. I'll swear to him that I'll do this. Amen. Say amen. So the Father speaking to Christ in Abraham's loins, because he saith not the seeds of many, but thy seed which is one, which is Christ. That's all the review I can do, because I got to go to the next level today. And then he says, and if you be Christ, same book of Galatians chapter 3, then you, say you, are Abraham's seed. An heir, say an heir, according to the promise. Say, I am an heir of that promise that day. All right. So the Father swears to the Son. Now, I want to show you in the scripture where God actually answered that prayer to his Son and how he also answered it to us. And then I'm going to take you to the next level of how to pray that. Amen. It's one thing to get a revelation, but then you have to know how to pray that revelation. Amen? We're going to get all that in before the service is over today. Amen? Lord willing. Everyone say, Lord willing. All right. So, let's go first to Daniel chapter 7. Book of Daniel. Awesome book. But there is an amazing scripture in the book of Daniel. I want you to see this, because Daniel foresaw all this happened before it happened. He saw an open vision of it. Now remember, the Father swears to his Son in Abraham's loins, not even born yet, that in blessing I'm going to bless you, and in multiply I'm going to multiply you, and you're going to possess the gates of your enemy, and I'm going to multiply you, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. So the Son had to receive that. Now Daniel sees this. Amen? So look at Daniel 7 verse 13. He said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. He actually saw the ascension of Christ. When he was taken up in the book of Acts, Daniel saw this happen before it happened. Isn't that glorious? He said, he came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near. This is speaking of the Son. And they brought him near into the Ancient of Days. And look at verse 14. And there was given him. Say what? That's what you want to underline in your Bible. There was given unto him. Say, there was given unto him. That's the Father answering the prayer that he actually swore to Abraham. I would bless you. There was given unto him what? Dominion. Glory. A kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. And a dominion was an everlasting dominion. The Father gave it to him at his ascension. Before one person was born again, the Father gave it to him. Isn't that amazing? Before 3,000 were born again, before 5,000 born again, the Father gave him all of it in his ascension. I was like, he received. The Father fulfilled his promise. He swore he would do it. He swore he would give it to him. In fact, the book of Hebrews says that Christ was appointed heir, say appointed heir, of all things. He said in him all the fullness would dwell. In John 16, he says all, the Lord said all, say all the Father has is mine. All that Pastor Chuck has is mine. All that is mine is mine. All that is his is mine. Say all the Father has is mine. Remember when the Father doled out the inheritance to the prodigal? And doled out the inheritance. The prodigal expended all of his inheritance right as living. He came back. And the Father still had more. Even though the Father gave you inheritance, even if you squandered the first one, God has more. Amen? God's inheritance never runs dry. Even if the enemy steals it from you, there's more. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, there's more. It's an everlasting inheritance. The enemy will steal from you here. But God has laid up you an inheritance there that cannot be stolen. Amen. Now, I want to get you into something that the Lord's been, he's had me in for the last couple of weeks, and it's been amazing. And I want you to get it. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 5 now. He said, teach us to pray. So we have the position of prayer. We have the revelation of prayer. We have to pray according to revelation. All right? So we're going to get a revelation, and I'm going to show you something the Lord's been teaching me that's going to change your life if you get a hold of this. Amen? So Revelation chapter 5, there's a lot on Revelation chapter 5, but we're just going to stick to this part right here. Verse 11, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels around about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That means that's a lot. Saying with a loud voice, worthy, say worthy, is the Lamb that was slain. To what? Receive. To what? Receive. To what? Receive. Receive what? The promise the Father made and swore that he would give it to him. He gave it to him. What did he give to him? I call this the seven inheritances. Worthy is the Lamb to receive, what? Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. The seven inheritances. Now, I want to ask you a question. Which one of those did he not have before he came to the earth? He had all of that. He didn't inherit for his sake. He had it before he came. He inherited it for your sake. He came down through Abraham's loin. He's a man. He said he wasn't ashamed to call us a brethren. He took not upon the nature of the angels, but he took upon himself the seed of Abraham. Came as a man to receive the dominion that was stolen from man. He reclaimed the dominion. Say, reclaimed the dominion. Daniel saw him go up before the Ancient of Days, and he reclaimed the dominion that was lost. And then he received an inheritance on the behalf of his church, which the Father swore he would give to him. It's already done. Look at your neighbor and say, that's done. He already gave to him. Worthy is the Lamb to what? Receive. Did he receive it? What did he receive? Power. You have an inheritance to walk in power. You have an inheritance to walk in riches. You have an inheritance to walk in wisdom. You have an inheritance to walk in strength. You have an inheritance to walk in honor and glory and blessings. It is yours. It is yours. Because if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And you, God the Father, was talking to in Abraham's loins. Thousands of years ago, when he inherited it, when he fulfilled it in Christ, he fulfilled it in you. Say it again. When he fulfilled it in Christ, he already fulfilled it in you. So, that's called the revelation of the finished work. There are 7 inheritances that belong to you. They've already been laid up for you, that already have been received from the Father, not waiting to be received. Christ has already received it. He's already received it for you in a finished work. Amen. Blessed be the Lord, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now we know those 7 inheritances are presently with Christ, given to him from the Father on your behalf. Ooh, let's say that again. We know the 7 inheritances are in Christ, given to the Father on your behalf. Given. Amen. We know the 7 inheritances are in Christ, given from the Father on your behalf for you today. They're yours. They are meant to show up in your life. They weren't meant to be a distant inheritance all your life. They were meant to be an inheritance here to show up. Okay, so he says, teach us to pray. Your neighbor said, teach us to pray. Okay, so we know there's a position of prayer. Pray in the presence of the Father. When you pray, enter into the sanctuary, shut the door. Pray to your Father, which is in secret. Pray in his presence. And he'll reward you openly. Then we have a revelation of prayer. What are we praying for? I'm praying for something that already belongs to me. Amen. So if it's already there, how do I get it here? Amen. First thing you have to recognize, it's mine. First thing you have to do is agree. Say agree that it's finished. Everyone say it is finished. The inheritance is finished. Lord, you're the appointed heir. I know that you possess it. You have to believe that. You have to believe that he possesses that inheritance for you. Now, we have to tune earth to heaven. Amen? We got to get something from the earth tuned into heaven in order to receive. Say receive. It's got to get from there to here. How do we tune earth to heaven? How do we turn heaven to earth? Before you tune heaven to earth, that will be done on the earth as it is in heaven, you have to tune earth into heaven. You have to tune. That's why he wants you to pray in his presence, right? All right, there's a lot of things to pray when you get to the Father. Don't go up to the Father whining. Don't go up there complaining. Don't go there, Father, if it be your will to bless this unworthy servant today. God, that sounds good, but God don't like that kind of thing. The Father looks at his Son and says, do you have respect for what my Son has done? Do you have respect for what I've given him? Do you believe that I've given it to him? If you believe, then it's yours. So you have to tune your heart. That's what revelation does. Revelation tunes you into an invisible realm. He makes it visible for you so you know what's yours. Without revelation, you don't know what's yours. Then you're wishing, wanting, waiting, hoping. That's not how this works. You don't wish, want, wait, and hope. You obtain. You enter and obtain. You go in with the idea, I'm going to obtain what's rightfully mine. If I don't know what's rightfully mine, I can't pray effectively. It's also, you can know in your head, but your heart and your head are not in sync together. Because sometimes when you're going up to pray, if you got an unworthy spirit, it's blocking you. Sometimes when you go up to pray and you got offense and unforgiveness in your heart, it's blocking you. You have to clear the ground. You have to clear the heart. The heart is what connects to heaven. Amen. It's the revelation in your heart is what causes you to receive from heaven. If you have no revelation of what is yours, you're not going to pray effectively. And what happens? You pray out of alignment. And you're not getting answers to your prayer. So you don't pray anymore. Amen? I believe people would pray a whole lot more if they get answers to their prayers. Amen? When God starts answering, he answers. I'm like, Dad, you answered that, Father. That was good. Once you learn the key and how it works, it just works. Imagine that. It worked. The kingdom works. Look at your neighbor and say, the kingdom works. And so the Spirit of the Lord began to show me. He goes, do you believe these seven inheritances are yours? I said, yes. Man, yeah. Amen. Amen. He goes, and I want you to hold. Listen to this. Keep. Look at your neighbor and say, keep. I want you to not only keep this word of Genesis 22, that blessing, I will bless thee. But I want you to take it one step further. Because he's been teaching me to hold that, and he's been blessing. Ever since I started holding that word, God started blessing. If you learn to pray effectively, listen to me. Don't just pray. Take his word and hold it in your heart and pray that word you're holding in the heart every day. Hold it. Recognize it. Acknowledge it. Become aware. Father, I'm blessing you. Bless me. And I'm multiplying. You multiply. But then he said, listen, I want you to take that one step further. Hold this other part. Hold Revelation chapter 5. Hold the seven inheritances in the heart. As he began to teach me how to do this, he said, if a man will keep my word in what? In his mouth and his heart. That word is what? Is in your heart and is in your mouth. If you don't learn to get those things in sync together, your prayers are going to be empty. You'll get 1% of your prayer answered instead of 90% answered. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord said, now, as you're holding this word, I have sworn now. Listen, I have sworn. Now, did I do it for my son? I said, yes, you did it for your son. He says, then will I do it for you? He says, now here's a revelation. You have to believe you're an heir. Galatians 3 says you're an heir of that promise. So I believe that in blessing you bless me. He goes, now I want you to hold those seven inheritances in your heart by faith. Worthy is the Lamb. So say it like this. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy am I. Can't do that. Can't do that. Really? Really? Okay, go to Galatians 3 real quick. Because if you can't do that, you're missing it. I'm going to show you Galatians 3. Are you there? Galatians 3. Praise the Lord. Now watch this. Very important. You see this. Very important. Boy, sometimes it's just one little hump you get over. If you get over it in the spirit, it'll work for you. It's a shift in your belief system. Sometimes you got to preach right through someone's veil until that veil breaks. And when it breaks, revelation and light hits. And when the light hits, it opens the door. Amen? Watch this. Love this. Galatians 3:16. It says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, right? And he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and thy seed which is Christ. So we know the Father that day was swearing to Christ that in blessing I will bless thee. And we know Christ received the seven inheritances, right? We know worthy is the Lamb to have received power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. So he received it, right? All right, now watch this, verse 29. And if you be Christ, verse 29, look at verse 29, ready? And if you be Christ, say, that's me. Then you, say you, are Abraham's seed. Stop right there. Then you are the one God was talking to back in Genesis 22. You are the one that he was swearing to. Say, you are the one. And you are an heir according to that promise. Say, I am an heir. God was speaking to me in Abraham a long time ago. And if he fulfilled it for Christ, then he fulfilled it for me. So back, or up forward, however you want to go, to Revelation 5. Father, I thank you that you've sworn in blessing, you bless me. And in multiplying, you multiply. And I am worthy in Christ to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. Now, when you learn to pray like that, you're going to have to shift your theology a little bit. Because you're going to have that kind of boldness to understand who you are, what God's given you, to hold that word. Don't go in there, Father, if it be your will. You got to know it's his will before you start that. Don't go see if he already stated his will in his word. That's why you have to have a revelation of his word, which gives you a revelation of his will so you can pray effectively to the Father.
Well, if it be his will, I'll do it.
Is his will. He said, I will. Everyone say, I will. Father, thank you. Today, in Christ, I receive. Now, he says, when you stand praying, that's not standing up praying. When you are in your season of prayer, when you stand praying, believe that you receive and you shall have. Say, believe that you receive and you shall have. Believe the seven inheritances belong to you and you will have them. How do you get them? See, holding that word in your heart with a proper belief system that's been aligned by revelation, that's been aligned, holding those inheritances in your heart, agreeing with them, knowing who you are as an heir, not out of pride, but out of boldness in accordance to your joint heirship in Christ. Father, I receive. As you hold those words, see, this is the tuner I've been talking about. It's like a radio frequency. Your heart gets tuned into a frequency that's already flowing. It's already flowing. But what happens is you're tuning your earthly frequency into a heavenly frequency. It's tuned from the heart. And as I hold that word every day and say, worthy is the Lamb, worthy am I, Father. I receive this day the inheritance of power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. By yourself and to yourself you have sworn to bless me. Father, you have sworn to multiply these inheritances in my life. You have sworn to multiply them to me. You have sworn to multiply them through me. You have sworn to multiply them in me. You have sworn to multiply me in power and in riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And as you begin to do that and you speak it with your mouth, speak it with your mouth, agree with it in your heart. Even when your head's going, this doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense, do it. As you do that, what happens? Your heart starts tuning into a spiritual frequency. And when you touch that frequency and you connect, when you make the connection between your heart and the frequency of heaven, that place where he said he blesses you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, you connect. All of a sudden, the earth and heaven connect. And when you connect, God sends that frequency into your life. And when he does, it's like rivers of living water that come out. And he starts orchestrating things on your behalf. He starts orchestrating favor and promotion and blessing and power. And all those seven inheritances begin to show up in your life. Isn't that glorious? And the more you do it, the more they flow. The longer you keep the connection, the more it flows. What's the devil wants to do? He wants to stop the connection. He wants to invade the connection. He wants to distract the connection. He wants to turn the connection, shield the connection. He wants to put a veil over the connection. If he can do it with a religious spirit, that's enough right there. That's the hardest spirit to ever penetrate, the religious spirit. Once someone gets taught a certain way, it's very hard to shift them. They're veiled. They can't see. Truth has the power to tear the veil down. Amen. That's why truth, you got to hit it and hammer it until the veil breaks. It's amazing. Sometimes you'll preach something four or five times and somebody will hear it for the very first time like you had never taught it before. But it's like they heard it the first time because truly that's the first time they heard it. It's when you have a veil over you, you cannot hear. I don't care. We've seen it. We've been doing this a long time. We can see them. We can see the veils. I didn't look at anybody in here. We can see the veil. Even looking at me when he said that. I can see the veils. Amen. If you'll just practice that every day, just getting into the presence of the Father, holding that word, agreeing with it, speaking it with your mouth, agreeing with your heart. He said, if it's in your mouth and in your heart, those two have to be in agreement. Your head doesn't have to be there, but your heart and your mouth have to be in agreement. The mind, it takes time for it to come around, but your heart and your mouth have to be in agreement. It's the word that brings that agreement, but it's that word that you hold there, you speak, that tunes you into an invisible frequency, and all of a sudden that frequency shows up in your life. It starts happening around you. All of a sudden, you were there, and now you're in. You were out, now you're in. It wasn't happening, all of a sudden it's happening. Amen. You're going to see this church begin to multiply. You're going to see this church begin to increase. You're going to see the blessing come upon this church. There will be an apostolic blessing that will come on this church where people will find it very easy for their calling to flourish. No matter what it is, if the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, it'll start flourishing. Why? Because there's an inheritance for it. Amen? You're going to see it. We're not going to be in this building forever. So I hold, Father, but if you'll get into agreement with those seven inheritances and begin to hold those inheritances, something's happening. I receive these inheritances. You swore to increase them. You swore to multiply these inheritances in me. You swore to multiply. See the difference in praying like that? You see the difference? It'll change the way you pray, but it'll also change the way you receive. You'll start receiving for a change. And start doing this. I'm going to close with this. This is my first close. I'm close. Learn to receive when you pray. A lot of people doing a lot of praying, but they don't ever receive. They just pray and let it go. I told a guy in the gym one time, every time I see him now, he goes, "You can't believe how that's changed my life." I just told him because he said, "Man, I'm just praying." I'm like, "Well, what are you praying for?" "Well, you know, I just got all this going on." I said, "Well, how do you pray?" He goes, "Well, you know, I just kind of pour my heart out to God." I'm like, "Pray for grace." I said, "Do this tomorrow. I want you to pray for grace. But when you're finished praying, receive. After you pray, receive." He goes, "What do you mean, receive?" I said, "If you don't receive and all you're doing is praying, then that's all you're ever going to do is pray." He said, "But when you pray, believe you receive. So do this. Pray for grace tomorrow of these situations." I didn't have enough time to teach him all this, but I said, "And believe you receive grace for that day. Spend as much time believing that you receive as you did pray." The next day he came over to me. He said, "You won't believe what happened to me today. I felt the presence of God when I did that." I'm like, "Wow." He goes, "And God intervened on a situation for me today." It's awesome. So when you're praying for the seven inheritances, receive. "Father, I receive. You swore to multiply. You swore to bless me, power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory, blessings and honor. You swore, Father, I receive it today. I receive the seven inheritances. I receive them, Father. I receive today. I believe that I receive every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from above. It's flowing to me. I am highly favored today. And I receive the blessing. I receive the inheritance. Father, I think you're showering my life with inheritance. And when I do that, I'll see a river flowing through me. I'll see the river of God flowing up in me. I'll see the expansion of God in me." See, you see it, say it, see it, say it, see it, say it. Amen? And believe it. What does it mean to believe? A state of seeing and saying that manifests the inheritance of Christ in you, to you, and through you. Hold it. Get a revelation of it. Know what is yours. Change what you're doing and you'll see a different result. Amen? Amen. How many are you going to pray differently tomorrow? How many are you going to pray? Now, don't do it one day and say it didn't work. Look, it took God, it took 50 years to get in the condition. You know, I know we all need wisdom, but wisdom might take more than one day. Amen? I mean, wisdom come knocking on the door and say, "Whew, it's a good thing I am wisdom. We got a lot of work to do." Amen. So stay with it, though. And those inheritances will flow, and all of a sudden God will start showing you things about things. He'll start teaching you how to prosper. Kingdom way. He'll start opening effectual doors for you. He'll bless you. Amen? He'll fill your life with favor and goodness. He'll give you honor. Some of you need honor. You've lived a life not just of dishonor towards the kingdom. You've been dishonored. Not just honor like that where we honor God, but your life, some of you have been dishonored. You grew up in a dishonorable life and a dishonorable childhood. And some of you, it wasn't born equal. And there was dishonor sowed. And sometimes you wear the cloak of dishonor. You just expect to be dishonored. This, every time I go, it's like everywhere I go, it's dishonor. Where's the honor? You can wear honor the same way you wear dishonor. Amen? You can wear honor. You got to wear that. You have to receive it. Because if you've been dishonored a lot in your life, you wear unworthiness. You feel unworthy. You feel dishonored. You feel unworthy. And that's what gets in your heart. Now what? Listen to me. You feel that way because you wear it. What's it attract? What attracted to you? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Dishonor attracts itself to you. Dishonorable circumstances. Rejection, it gets attracted to you. When you wear honor, guess what's attracted to you? Honor. Right? Not pride, honor. God honors. God doesn't mind his sons wearing honor, especially when he's given it to you. When God gives you honor, it doesn't matter who dishonors you, you wear honor. You wear the honor of the kingdom. It doesn't matter what man says to you. You can have as many enemies as you have friends, but you wear honor. I don't feel dishonor anymore. I feel honor. Amen. I don't wear dishonor. I used to wear that. I used to wear a lot of dishonor. I don't wear that anymore. I wear honor. Amen. Man's words have very little effect upon me anymore because I wear the honor of the kingdom. I wear the honor of my king. And his words have all the effect upon me. I only need his approval now. Amen. Because his approval is enough. If you get his approval, you'll wear honor. You wear honor, people will see you different. They'll respond to you differently. They'll respond to you in honor. All of a sudden, honor will show up at your door. Everyone's starting to like you. Wow. Wow. Some of you need that. He received honor on your behalf so he could give you honor. It's a spiritual atmosphere you wear. And you have to put it on and receive it. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord telling me, daughter, you are worthy to receive it. Because you just said, Lord, you don't know. They don't know what I've been through. They don't know. I know exactly what happened to you in your childhood at 5 years old. I know exactly what happened. I saw that in the Spirit at 5 years old. And you've been wearing that trespass all your life. But the day is now to shift, says the Spirit of the Lord. Today, to no longer wear the dishonor of what happened to you at five, but wear the honor that happened to you at your rebirth of the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.